Last week we looked at the Sabbath as it's found in the Old Testament and the importance of getting rest and seeing this commandment as not just a command, but also a gift. Seeing that God cares for his creation. It's a gift because God cares about our well-being. He cares that we are getting rest. He cares for his creation, and we need to realize that also that the Sabbath was a day that was set apart. It was holy. And because it was holy, the people needed to use the day to focus on God. And today we'll be diving into what the Sabbath is for us today in light of Jesus Christ and what has changed under his new covenant with us. And I'd like to read through our scripture that we're going through in the Ten Commandments, but then I'll quickly move into some New Testament scripture. So let's remind ourselves of the commandment found in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. A lot has happened between when this commandment was given to the Israelites and the time that Jesus came. If you remember last week, I showed you a list of 39 categories of work which were prohibited by the Pharisees and the scribes or the religious elite. They come up with 39 categories, and then under each category was who knows how many rules. It seems the Pharisees were quick to point out other people who violated those categories, which the Jewish people, when the Jewish people didn't follow those Pharisaic rules, they were treated like sinners. Let's look at one area where the Pharisees and Jesus were at opposite ends. I'll be looking at Matthew chapter 12 if you want to turn with me. I'll actually be in Matthew chapter 12 for quite a while. Let's read verses 1 through 2. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." Now, it wasn't wrong to go through fields. Actually, looking at some of the Old Testament things, some grain was left in fields on purpose for the poor, so that the poor could go through and get a little bit of food. So it wasn't wrong to go through grain fields. It also wasn't wrong to eat on the Sabbath. They would just prepare the meal beforehand and eat on the Sabbath. What was wrong with what the disciples were doing? The disciples picked some of the heads of grain, which the Pharisees had categorized in that 39, those list, as being reaping. And they concluded that that was work and not allowed on the Sabbath. If you think about it, how Jesus traveled around and ministered, it was very likely that the disciples were very hungry. It may have been a while since they had eaten. But to the Pharisees, it seems the welfare of the person was really unimportant. The law was the rule, and it was inflexible, at least in this instance. And I think about how the Pharisees are condemning the disciples who were hungry and were eating. I see the inconsistency. And God created the Sabbath for rest and well-being. Yet when the Pharisees get a hold and put their legalism in it, then you really kind of lose sight of that well-being picture. It was more about the rules. It was more about the regulations. I will give the Pharisees some credit. There was one exception. They believed that if a person's life was in imminent danger, that you could break some of those Sabbath rules in order to save a life. But that's not what was happening here in the grain field. Jesus responds to the Pharisees condemning him and his disciples by quoting some moments in biblical history, and I'll be reading on in verses 3 through 5. Jesus answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent?" Jesus is pointing out a couple of areas where there were violations in the law, but they were never condemned. The consecrated bread, or if you're a King James person, it was called showbread. The consecrated bread is found in 1 Samuel 21:4. You can read that on your own if you're interested. But that bread was given to David and his men by the priest. But that was a bread that was reserved only for priests to eat. And in essence, what Jesus is saying here, he's affirming what that priest did, that priest named Ahimelech, who chose to bend the rules and show mercy before holding to that ceremonial law. Jesus is essentially saying that one must take into account the need that is presenting itself, and a response of mercy may be the better course of action than adherence to the letter of the law. Jesus also points out that the priests desecrated the Sabbath through their work in the temple. Do you ever think about that on the Sabbath? There were many people working on the Sabbath. Priests. There were sacrifices. There were other things that needed to be done. Now it was a day of rest, and they were commanded in that commandment not to work at all. But the priests worked. And Jesus is pointing that out, that they were hard at work. Everyone was supposed to cease from work, but on the Sabbath the priests didn't, and yet they were found innocent. What does this mean? It means that Jesus is pointing out that God made allowances within the law. Even on the Sabbath, there was work to be done, and a calloused and unloving view, which the Pharisees took, that calloused and unloving view of the law was not the way God looked at it. Let's read on in Matthew, verses 6 through 8. "I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." That last verse, verse 8, there's one greater. Well, actually, that verse 6, there's one greater than the temple. There's one greater than the Sabbath. And Jesus is speaking of himself. Then Jesus quotes from Hosea 6:6, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." And God is stating that sacrifice, meaning the observance of those religious rituals, he's saying that even that the sacrifice, even though it was commanded, did not take precedence over mercy. Mercy and steadfast love were more important to God. And if the Pharisees had indeed understood this important concept, they would have cared for the sinners rather than condemn them. We see a lot with the Pharisees that it was a lot of condemnation. You didn't do this, you didn't do that, you're condemned. But that's not the way God works. That's not why God is giving us even, you know, why He even gave the Israelites the law. We even discussed this when we first started looking at the Ten Commandments. We look at the Ten Commandments and other laws as a loving Father giving us healthy boundaries. Boundaries to live by, because He knows what will hurt us and what won't. The Pharisees took it to a different extreme. The Pharisees should have had compassion for sinners. And that compassion just was not in the heart of the Pharisees. And Jesus, He calls them out on it here. Compassion and mercy abounded in Jesus' ministry. And then at verse 8, the final verse there, Jesus makes it clear the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is not challenging the Sabbath itself, but rather He is challenging the Pharisees' interpretation of it. Jesus, as the Messiah, He authoritatively interprets the law correctly. And here Jesus is pointing out that the Pharisees were blind in their interpretation. They could not see the actual intent of the Sabbath because their rules blinded them. The Sabbath was to be set apart for the Lord, bringing rest and well-being, which leads to the next few verses in Matthew. And I'm going to be reading verses 9 through 14. Going on from that place, He went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked Him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. You see, the Pharisees didn't see this man's life in danger, so in their mind, his healing should wait until after the Sabbath. But Jesus saw a man in need. He saw a man whom He could show compassion to. And Jesus also tells us something here, that it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. The interesting thing about this last scripture is that Jesus tells them it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath, but the Pharisees respond later by plotting to kill Jesus. These Pharisees that have all these laws against work were still okay with plotting to kill someone on the Sabbath. To do evil on the Sabbath was okay. I find it's interesting how they police others, but yet they struggled themselves. You can see that their hearts were not right. Let's look at another encounter with the Jews and John. I have to tell you, as I was preparing this message, I really wanted to do one commandment per Sunday, and the Sabbath one has turned into two Sundays. Well, as I was going through a lot of these scriptures I would love to cover, I found out that I could have easily done another message, but I am trying to condense, and there are a number of other verses that deal with the Sabbath that I'm not going to cover, but let's look at John chapter 7, verses 22 through 24. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a child on the Sabbath. Now if a child can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Jesus is blasting the Pharisees for keeping a lesser issue when compared to a greater one. You see, circumcision needed to be done on the eighth day, and if it fell on the Sabbath, it was okay to go ahead with that circumcision in order to keep that law. What Jesus is saying, circumcision was really seen as perfecting only one part, while Jesus' healing was perfecting the entire body. When Jesus tells them to stop judging by appearances, he's essentially saying, stop with the legalism. The Sabbath is not about the do's and the do nots. He's saying to the people, pay attention to what is right and what is wrong. Being condemned for healing someone, making someone well, is right. If I don't know how you can make it anything other than that. Why you would not do that if you had the capability. Love and compassion and doing good is the right thing to do. And Jesus is really kind of getting to another point here, that holding back from doing what is right, that's wrong. Jesus had the capability of making him right. And the people are saying, well, you shouldn't do it on this day. You should wait to some other day. Jesus is saying, I have the ability to do something right here. Change this person. To not do that would be wrong. Not just on the Sabbath, but really on any day. Let's look at another verse in John. We're going to go back to chapter 5, John chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. We're told that this verse burned within the religious elite. And look at that verse, that part that I underlined. Jesus is telling us that he is working on the Sabbath. He's telling us that God the Father is working on the Sabbath. See, something is happening here, and that Jesus is making changes to the Sabbath. Again, pounding in the point of that Matthew 12:8, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is making some changes to the way the Sabbath is viewed. There are many things that Christ's coming and a life under the new covenant brought. So changes to the Sabbath isn't the only thing that changed with his new covenant. When I think of some of the big things that the Israelites used to do under the law, thinking about circumcision again, that was huge for the Jews. It was a sign that they were under the covenant, that old covenant. And when after Christ, we see instead of the emphasis on that physical circumcision, we have a circumcision of the heart through Christ that is in us. Another change was the Day of Atonement. If you've read the Old Testament enough, you'll know that the Day of Atonement was a big deal for the Israelites. It was a sacrifice that happened every year. Yet after Christ, it changed to looking at the atoning work of Christ on the cross. It was a one sacrifice for all. How about the Passover celebration, the Passover, remembering the salvation from Egypt? It was a supper that was prepared every year to celebrate the Passover and the celebration of God delivering the Israelites out of Egypt. Well, after Christ, we see another change. Instead of doing the Passover celebration, we have the Lord's Supper, where we regularly remember the salvation from our sins through the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and the repentance of our sins. We'll be taking that today. So to say that the Sabbath has changed is not really is not out of the ordinary from what's already happened. The Sabbath has changed. And Christ, when He came, He brought us freedom. He brought us freedom from the law and freedom from the bondage of sin. And we see that in Galatians 5:13. 5:13 through 14. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. And then in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are not led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The Spirit does the will of the Father and of the Son. That's the bigger question when it comes to the Sabbath now after Christ's coming. What is the Spirit leading you to do or not do? You see, there are long-lasting principles surrounding the Sabbath, like rest, taking care of ourselves, and taking a day to focus on the Lord. Jesus wasn't abolishing those principles. He was removing the legalism that made the Sabbath a burden. Now, there have been many questions over the years as to why we worship on the first day of the week instead of on the seventh day. If you've had any encounters with, I believe, Seventh-day Adventists, and there's some other groups that are saying we shouldn't be worshiping on Sunday, we should be worshiping on Saturday. Why was there a change? And the best answer I can tell you is that the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ, He rose from the dead on the first day. And all of the apostles and disciples saw this day as now the Lord's day. There has been changes to the Sabbath, and we see another one of those changes is on the day that we worship. Even John calls it the Lord's Day in Revelation 1:10 when he received revelation from God. And on the first day of the week, the believers would gather together and take bread, meaning they worshiped together on the first day. They took communion together. They remembered Christ and gave thanks for the gift of salvation, and they fellowshipped with one another on the first day. And on the first day, they would also set aside sums of money for the work of the church and for missions work. The apostles saw the Lord's Day as a day to worship and minister and read God's Word. But the change was focusing on Christ and not on rules and regulations. The principles of rest and taking care of oneself are still important. It was a gift from the Lord for us. Don't lose sight of those principles of the Sabbath. The Lord's Day should be a day set aside to worship. Continue gathering together for the edification of the church. Those are vitally important. But as some of you had questioned me last week about things like, is it okay to mow the lawn on a Sunday? What about farmers who have chores that have to be done on Sunday? You know what? I think you ought to just tell the cows, you're going to have to hold your milk. I'll milk you on Monday. No, that isn't going to happen. What about other jobs that require them to work on Sundays? I used to be a police officer. My wife was a nurse in the ER. Emergencies happen all the time. You don't get breaks on Sundays. Emergencies still happen. You still have to. There's still people that have to work. What about other businesses that choose to be open on Sundays, like restaurants? A question is, should we even eat out on Sundays, causing others to work? But then, how about cooking large meals on Sunday? Someone's got to cook and someone's got to clean up. So there's still work. How about hosting a Super Bowl party? That's a lot of work sometimes. How about cleaning your house on Sunday? How about hunting on Sunday? Yeah, we had deer opener not too long ago. I know. Are those activities okay? I've heard many questions, and we need to remember a few things. We need to remember those principles about rest, well-being, taking time for worship. We also need to remember that the Holy Spirit is in us, that He guides us. That verse in Galatians 5:18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in your shoulds or should nots. So when those questions are asked, I will simply probably reply to you. If you ask me about mowing the lawn, I'll ask you, what's the Holy Spirit speaking to you about on that? I think you probably already have an idea. But let's just take that one for a moment, that example of mowing the lawn. Mowing the lawn for me is not an enjoyable activity. And it's something that I won't do on Sundays. That's me. But I also know that there are other people who are different than me. There are some that enjoy mowing the lawn. And they feel that it is a time to unplug from their phone and other daily activities, where it's a time where they can just sit and pray and recharge. Now, kayaking on the Jump River, for me, is just like that. A time to recharge on the water and enjoy the beauty of God's creation. We are all different. And again, we have different ideas of what is okay to participate in on the Lord's Day. So I'm going to leave you with a verse to dwell on for the rest of the week. Colossians 2:16-17. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. I leave you with this warning. Be careful that you do not judge others and overstep your authority and push your convictions about the Lord's Day on someone else. We need to be careful of doing that, doing the very thing that the Pharisees were doing. I know this verse is talking about eating and drinking, but it also speaks about with regard to, let it include what we do on the Sabbath as well, on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is a time for worship. Focus on Him. Fellowship with others. Take time for rest. Rest may look different to others. Me, it may look like me taking a nap in bed. For others, rest might be something else, not taking a nap. And if you work on the Lord's Day, are you getting a day of rest on some other day? That principle is still important. Are you setting time aside to worship? I would also say be careful. Be careful in the freedom that you have. because this day is important to the Lord. If you are inclined to work 7 days a week, I would be asking myself, what God am I truly worshiping if I cannot set aside time for the Lord? We have Christ. That last verse, part of that verse, Christ is the ultimate fulfillment. In Christ we have rest. In Christ we find peace. In Christ we are saved. In Christ we are free from the bondage of sin and the burden of legalism. In Christ the Sabbath has been truly fulfilled. Let the Holy Spirit guide us in our quest to worship the Lord with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, and with all our strength.